You are listening to Legacy Moments, where we have authentic conversations about life, business, and so much more to transform your mind, body, and soul. I'm Dr. Patrice Berry, licensed psychologist, and I am here with my mom, who is a business and leadership expert, and I'm super excited for today's topic. We are talking about don't stir up mess. Tips to manage conflict. And when we came up with the title, so I like to give y'all the behind the scenes, the title might, maybe we were thinking about something else, but we didn't write down all the details. So this is what it is. This is what we're talking about. Lately on social media, I've been talking a lot about managing emotions and being aware of the story that we're telling ourselves, and thought this tied right into conflict resolution, learning how to manage relationships with ourselves, at home, with friends, and also at work.
Wow. And the reason that this is so important is that relationships, I want you to look at them like capital. And capital is something that you invest in, right? You take capital and you invest in, and you get a return on it, right? So when you think of relationships, relationships help you open doors in some cases that you may not be able to open on your own. It also allows you to get information, to gain insight, all of that stuff. And there's two sides of every relationship, right? It's how you invest, what you put in, and sometimes what you return out. And so the key with that is that look at relationships as an investment. Look at it as capital. So when you talk about stirring up mess in your capital area, there's always an impact. So the impact can be good and or bad. And the other thing with relationship capital is just like investing in something. If you turn around and you find out that you need to shift your investment or tweak it a little bit, or you need to listen more or learn more about the company, the person, then you do that because you know you're invested. So that is so important when you talk about stirring things up
and conflict. I think it's important to look at how was conflict handled in your family? How did people disagree? Because often what we see and what we saw, and that becomes our normal, whether we want it or not, that does become our normal. And I am an avoider, okay? Dr. Patrice Berry, I like to avoid. And, but I also know that the absence of conflict does not mean that a relationship, really, if there's not conflict, the relationship probably isn't that close, because we grow together when we handle conflict appropriately. A lot of people, I used to do marriage therapy, and I would sometimes meet with premarital, so meet with new couples, and they would be like, we never argue. And it's like, like, we need to know, how do y'all communicate when y'all don't agree? Like, how are y'all managing things? Because I do think, so in relationships, I'm going to do something that is, you know, that my mom isn't going to like. And it's okay for her to say, hey, I didn't appreciate that. Like, let's talk about this. Like, let's move forward with this. And, but we aren't going to yell at each other. We're not going to scream at each other. So tip number one is, have some boundaries with what is and is not okay when we disagree. Not if, but when.
Patrice, describe what boundaries are based on. So I think that is so imperative when we talk about boundaries. What are boundaries?
And I love, and I will give her credit each and every time I say this, Domestic Blisters over on TikTok. She also has YouTube, talks about the fact that boundaries have nothing to do with the other person. Boundaries are about how far I am willing to go. I've always described boundaries as knowing where I end and the other person begins. Where does my responsibility end? And with emotions. So I'm the type of person, I've always been this way, where if you're mad at me and we are in a friendship, you have got to tell me. I am not going to assume. I am a people pleaser, but like if somebody's upset, like you have to say, hey, this upset me. I'm not going to assume that it was me. But with boundaries, being able to know where I end and the other person begins, and that it's a request to say, do not yell at me. It's a boundary to say, if you keep yelling, I'm going to leave.
It's about your reaction, what I'm going to do in that case. If A, then B. And you have to do B, whatever that is, right? Now, the other thing is, when you think about relationships, whether it be in your family and all that, I love the thought of communication. Because the key with conflict is there's what happened, what I think happened, right? My perception of what happened. And then, you know, when we come together and discuss that, we can say, oh, well, that's not what I meant or whatever. You get clarity. Remember stirring that mess. You get clarity when you find out that that happens. And then for me personally, what I do is I said, what caused me to think that way? What caused me to feel that? What? Because I go back to me. Is this my stuff? Because see, a lot of people don't want to deal with they stuff. Go ahead.
And I have to do that first. So is this about the thing in front of me, or is this about something from 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Like, is this about what's happening now?
Right. And that is the critical piece, because then I can identify, I can clarify, and if it needs rectifying, I can do that. Now, everything that you identify and clarify doesn't necessarily mean that you need to fix it. It may not be on you, right? So it's not about that. But being self-aware is a superpower. It is a power that you do not avoid. I mean, do not ignore that. That is your superpower. Knowing who you are and what you desire, establishing your boundaries in advance. Because see, once you in the water swimming, it's hard to say, well, you know, I don't want to swim with sharks, or I don't want to swim with this. Well, you should have told me that in the beginning, or I can't swim. You should have told me that before you jumped in the water, right? Because then there were other things you could have done to prepare yourself to be in that environment. And then when you're in that environment, it also prepares you to know when it's time to step away from that environment, because it's about you. Right? It's about you. It's about knowing you and knowing what you desire and how to move forward. So when you stir up stuff, so let's talk about just the element of stirring. So sometimes there's things in our life and I call it sediment. They go down to the bottom. We don't even know, you know, there's that stuff on the bottom, you know, because everything up front looks really clear. Everything looks wonderful. Then you walk in the office and somebody says something to you and you go, your eyebrow goes up, something happens, right? Or it triggers something, or it makes you think something. See, all triggers are not for you to respond. Some triggers are internal because they may feed the fact that you may not think, you know, somebody told you when you were young that you weren't enough or whatever they said. And then this person says something to bring that back up. So it's a little stir. And then as you stay in sometimes what I consider as toxic environments, then that's a lot of stirring. So then the key with that is if you work in or work in a toxic environment, then make sure you do something to calm or to bring yourself back to a space that you find you're breathing so you can move forward. Patrice has something amazing to say, I can tell.
Because the thing that sometimes happens is we might not realize the work environment is toxic until we come out of it. Or until we really take a step back and look at, wait a minute, this wasn't right. This wasn't okay. And being able to just take that step back and then determine, okay, let's say this isn't the right place for me. And this culture, this environment is not going to change. What are my options?
Right.
And honestly, taking a look at that. Some people that I've worked with recently, what happened was they ended up getting let go from that toxic environment. And now they're in healthier environments. And it's like, wow. And it was a job that they would have never left. And so in the midst, when you have conflict, when things happen, sometimes a decision will be made and I'm not okay with it. I have to grieve it. But then you come out of it and realize, wait a minute, this works. This was a good decision. And now I'm in an environment where I can thrive.
Right. And that's the key. The key is sometimes there's a disruption. Sometimes there's an interruption. Right. And then with the conflict, sometimes there's a disruption. You run into something that you just didn't know. And then there's an interruption. And the key is what stretching, how does that thing stretch you? How do you move forward? Because that's the part you can control. When you're in a situation where there's conflict, you get a chance to control your response in that environment. The other person can't control that. You get a chance to control it. Now, and that's the key with moving forward and allowing, go ahead.
But that's incredibly important because the emotions that come up for me when someone else says something to me, that is on me to manage. And I don't give that person the power to then ruin the rest of my day. So I wouldn't say because they said this to me, now the rest of my day is gone. Now what they said impacted my day. It did have an impact, but now I get to decide, okay, am I going to decide to sit in this?
That's good.
Because then they don't have to do anything for me to be better. Because often we hold people hostage and it's like, okay, well, if they do this, if this happens, or if this goes this way, then I'll be okay. I try to put, and what other people do, it's always going to have an impact. And within relationships, there are a few different types. There are people that when conflict happens, they won't give the other person a break. So the other person needing space brings up a lot of anxiety. Like, don't leave me is often what comes up for the person. Or like, I need to win. I need to settle this. And then there's somebody that sometimes is the avoider, is like, nope, there's a problem. Like, it's just, let's just sweep it under the rug. But now everybody's fault. Like this, we have an elephant in the room. And so we have to find ways to come together and have those difficult conversations in a safe way. And I am telling you what I have to practice, because this does not. So healthy conflict resolution does not come normally, because when we are in a conflict, you automatically view the other person as being on the other side, on the other team. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes. So let's talk about it from a marital perspective. Here you are, and the two shall become one. Y'all are typically, you know, on the same team. And then suddenly this thing happens. You say, okay, you're the enemy. You're on the other team. I'm going to win. the other person does the same thing. Because when you enter into conflict, it almost becomes like a sport, a game. And not because it is a game, but hear it from this perspective, is that it's like, it's them against me and I need to survive. I need to rise to the top. I am not going to be destroyed. And, you know, all of these things come into our brain because we're in survival mode, right? So sometimes this is what happens, I believe, is very powerful. So when the other person is high pitch, loud voice, if you literally intentionally bring your voice down and say, okay, I hear you. You hear the calmness in my voice? Okay, I hear you. Let's do. And then automatically the other person like, whoa, what just happened? But if you elevate, then the person elevates again. And before you know it, it's out of control. So then I want to go back to one other thing, is be careful with the power that you give other people in your life. If they do this, then I'll do that. If they do this, then I'll do that. So the question is, what if they don't do this? What if they don't? So the key is, what should you do in this moment? How does your relationship capital, what are you willing to invest in the moment? Does that mean the other person is going to respond positively? No, that doesn't mean that. That means you've done what you know is best in the moment. Then I'm going to step back one more step, if I may. Is the other thing is this. I love what Patrice said, and I don't want us to just sweep over this. When something happens, do you really want to take a moment in time that something else occurred and then build your whole week, not just your day, your whole life, not just your day, not just the 15 minutes it happened or not the 2 years that it happened or the 5 years, whatever, not just those moments, but you're going to live the rest of your life in that space. So I think that's when we, and I've done some work. So to go in and I get someone to help me through that so that I can not, it's not blame shame, it's to reclaim, to forgive all of that. So I'm going to do a moment in forgiveness because this Patrice did her dissertation on forgiveness. And I think one of the most powerful things a person can do is to forgive someone else. And it's because you end up staying in that moment and the person sometimes has left and moved on.
And the way that I define forgiveness is, and this is based on research and everything, it's not reconciliation. It's not saying that what they did was okay. It's not forgetting it. What it is it's when something bad happens and I hold on to that hurt and pain, it's a decision to open my hand and feel better. That is what it is about, and being able to come out of it. So if I'm mad, because let's say somebody hurt my feelings and they're not going to change, and me holding on to that pain, it only hurts me. It doesn't hurt. They go on with their life. Yeah. They're enjoying their day. And I'm the one that's left hurting. And so I do think that when I have been hurt, I have the right to be upset about it.
Yeah.
So forgiveness doesn't somehow say, you know, you don't have the right to have those emotions. No, process them, grieve them. But it is this release process. And some people talk about, they like the word acceptance better, mm-hmm. where it's like, okay, I'm not fighting this anymore. This person may or may not be in my life anymore, but I'm going to now move forward.
Right. And now remember I talked about relationship capital. If someone or you're investing in something and then you find out it's not the best investment of your time, listen to me, because your time is connected to your resources, of your time, then find, locate, move in your life with your decision. Shift what you're doing. Limit the time that you're in that environment. Do those things that you can control, right? Because, and I'm gonna touch this, there are some people in life that they know chaos, they're more comfortable in chaos. So what they do when they step in a space is, because they're uncomfortable with peace, is they need to do something to cause chaos. So based on how you respond, remember it's about you, it's not about everybody else, it's about you. So how you respond can either cause them to continue to come towards you to get that reaction, or for them to walk away and find somebody else because they're not getting what they need, which is the chaos.
And within like toxic relationship talk, we call that gray rocking. So it's a method called gray rock, where there are people that enjoy getting a reaction out of other people and getting that emotional response, agitating. And for some reason, they just feed off of that, because then they flip it and they blame the person for the emotion they're experiencing without accepting that they just orchestrated all of this. And so gray rock is, okay, this person is trying to push my buttons. I'm going to ignore them and be as boring as a gray rock.
Right.
I'm just going to not
that
give
is
them.
So good.
Now the bad part about that is that when you do that, what they're saying is hurtful and the person might escalate to try to get a reaction. So you do have to look at your own emotional safety. There are some other techniques that can be helpful. Along with that, we have some content on toxic relationships and managing toxic situations that you can go back and check out.
Right, right. And so this is what I'll tell you. Let's talk about a couple tips. First of all, the more you know yourself, the better. One tip me and Patrice was talking about today is journal. Sometimes when we're in a toxic situation, we need to download those emotions into something in a journal, into something away. Go ahead.
And I just wanted to add to also look at the positive and to try to see it from the other perspective. Because if you just journal your side, you're just probably going to get more mad. I'm just being honest. Like if you're just like, ooh, they did this and they did that. And how dare they do this to me? Yeah. But then like, wait a minute, what was my role in this? Chanel said something great earlier. She said, have I done what's best in the moment? Because
so
if
good.
I look back at my behavior, because often when we're journaling what other people said and did, and we're not being introspective.
Right.
And this is the first time that I'm saying this. I'm likely going to be working on a journal. I don't like some of the ones that are available. There are some phenomenal ones available, but my therapist gave me an assignment to journal and I don't. So I'm going to create something and I'll talk about that once it's available. But yeah.
See, okay. So let's talk about this for a moment. The deal with that is twofold. Number one is be a problem solver. So in the journal, you're solving, this is what happened, right? However, how can you control you in such a way that you will gain capital, not necessarily relationship, but in you? Because the first person you need to invest in is me. The first person I need to invest in, you need to invest in, we need to invest in ourselves. All of us need to invest first in ourselves. That's not just things. That's our mindset, our peace, our joy, all of those things, right? The things that are priceless that other people cannot purchase for us. We have to get it for ourselves, right? So that's the first thing. So find a way to do that. Number two is that when you know your, I'm gonna call it triggers, know what causes you to shift or move or ebb or flow. And then look at the capital, look at the relationships that you're in, not from a judgmental perspective, but look at, okay, I'm in, how do I add value to them? And how do I, after being with them, am I better for being with them? Because sometimes we're in this space and we don't even realize that our mindset, whatever, has shifted. So just consider that. And the joy of celebrating you. Celebrate yourself. Look at and do positive affirmations. Well, y'all know I'm a big affirmations girl. So do positive affirmations and feed yourself what you want to eat, especially when you're not in a space that feeds you. I'm going to say it again. Feed yourself what you need to eat, especially when you're not in a space that you're getting the nutrients that you need to feed you. So that's very important. Patrice?
I love that. And so my tips for managing conflict. So at work is different. And there are, especially, I have a lot of followers that are Black, that are BIPOC. And I had a conversation with somebody just the other day that 10, 15 years ago, I didn't have the voice that I have today. My mom, when she was, you know, climbing the corporate ladder and all of those things, she put up with a whole lot of mess, a racism. Like, that's what, like, it was no other word for it.
Yeah.
She put up with some sexism because her name is Johnny. And that was, so she was hired by somebody that I think didn't like women in leadership. And so he picked the name Johnny. Like, he was like, oh, like, this is a guy. And my mom shows up and he's like, oh, okay.
This is how bad it was. Okay. I can say where. I was in Valdosta, Georgia, coming back from a very traumatic, some stuff happened. And so I was in Valdosta, Georgia. I was in an airport that you came in on a prop plane. The person that was looking for me, well, looking for the person they had hired, because they were my sponsor, came in and they waited till everybody was out of the airport. I saw them walking around. I saw their name tag on their shirt. I stood there because I was so used to it. This is control, self-control. I could have went up and said something, da-da-da-da, whatever, right? So I didn't. Everything in me, I don't know if I was praying in tongues or what. I don't know what I was doing, but I stood there. I just stood there, And so he said, this is what he said. He said, you're not, hear me. He said, you're not Johnny, are you? And I said, yes, I am. You must be da-da-da. And he said, and for a moment, he didn't even reach out to touch my hand. But before it was over, matter of fact, within 90 days, I mean, to this day, we are still connected. So the thing is just because someone has labeled you or put something on you, or they say something to you, or they cause things to come up in you, does not mean that you then write them off, because sometimes it's to stretch you. And in this environment, this situation stretched us, because we ended up, it was one of the best places. I mean, I ended up, I don't know, my relationship with everything shifted in this place. But more than anything, my relationship with me became healthy in this spot that I could have looked at and said, oh, no, as soon as I can, I'm getting out of this podunk place that nothing, whatever. So, but it's okay. Don't let people judge you. Don't, and more than anything, don't judge yourself.
So I don't have control over whether somebody judges me, but I do have control over whether I let that judgment change me somehow.
That's better. Thank you.
Because I am going to be judged. Like, that's, I just know that. I've started wearing hoodies to work sometimes. So back when I was in graduate school, I would have never, oh my gosh, even the first few years of practice, I felt like I had to look like a therapist, that because I had an intake with a new client and I had on a black Know Your Worth hoodie, and it was a Friday. And even if it was a Monday, like, I have gotten so much more comfortable with myself that if somebody else misjudges me, if they misperceive that, and if they don't take the time to get to know the substance of what is here, that is on them. That is not on me. Oh, and I don't respond. Powerful. I don't respond to everything. I only respond to what I have energy for. Mm. So
say that again. Whoa, 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 whoa. You only what?
I only respond to what I have energy for.
That's golden.
Because, so when I am drained, ooh, so y'all think I'm nice. Like,
I know her. And I, but more than that, I know her mother. I know her mother. But she is nice. But however, comma.
Don't try me. Don't mess with my money. Don't mess with my family. Don't, like I have some things that I have to
boundaries
deal with first.
Yeah. You know, it takes father, you know, sometimes, you know, okay. So I'm gonna say this, y'all can laugh or whatever, you know, in the word, it talks about lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. There were some points in my life that I really took that to be, I can really lay hands on you. I have been delivered, I believe.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you know, well, I've been saying.
Okay. So, you know, because she did. So the reason why we were in Valdosta, Georgia was because
I laid hands on the sick.
I laid
hands on the sick, y'all. Okay. You know what? I can't believe you even talking about this. Okay. This is like, we do normally do this on after. Okay, so y'all see me getting a little teary-eyed. Okay. What happened is my mother, they thought my mother was on her death, you know, basically gonna die. So the company that I worked in, military, they sent me home. I was in another country. They sent me home. And I worked for someone who looks like me. She sent me home. I want to say that because I think it's really important. Sarah that sent me home. And then, but my mom got better. I mean, prayer changes things, right? So I'm happy. I come back. But it wasn't long after that she really did pass. And so the person I was working for, my mother is still my heart. I'm telling y'all, I just can't even talk about it, right? So anyway, so the deal with is
so that the person said that she couldn't go home for the funeral.
And wait a minute, I'm the executor. She can't even be put in the, nothing can happen unless I'm there. Well, this other person showed up. Because see y'all, this other person showed up. I don't know who this person was, but I'm telling you, I leaped across the table. I mean, she had a huge desk. She was an officer. Anyway, I leaped, and I wasn't a small chick. I'm laughing, y'all. I went across. I didn't even see it happen. It was like an out-of-body experience. I went across the table, took her. I mean, I literally went after her throat. Well, it was life-changing. But let me tell you something. Because I had so much relationship capital,
yeah,
at that facility, everybody knew me. Matter of fact, people said, she lying. She didn't do that. People said, she's lying. She would never do that. That's not who she is. And this other person was not known like that. Okay. They were kind of interesting. So anyway, but I did do that. I really did. I jumped across the stage. I really did. So anyway, but my point for saying that is this. This is how important relationship capital is. Because I had such a good name, because I had done so much, because I had invested in other people, because of all of those things, they protected me. Now, they got me off the island as soon as, wait a minute, I went to and did my thing. But when I came back, they had positioned me for another opportunity in America.
Because I
needed to be away from that person. Yeah. But in the meantime, they moved me to another organization.
You got a promotion.
I did get a promotion. Yeah. So it is very important. I'm serious. The people on TikTok. I'm serious. You know, anyway. So I ended up with a promotable opportunity. So I ended up going to America. To Valdosta, because there was something in me that needed to be controlled. I needed to learn the things I did by standing there, because I'd already been in trouble, right? So I was in a place of humility, because I knew I was on grace and mercy. I mean, even journals and all that. And somebody asked earlier, evangelist asked about journals. There's some great journals out there. Focus and Awe. There's a Focus journal. It's according to what you are using the journal for, is what I would say. So anyway, so let me back up so we can back forward. Relationship capital. Also, while I was there, I met all these people, and that's what got us to Germany. When the base was going to close, somebody reached back and said, oh no, Johnny is a single parent and I got another promotion. It wasn't, see, the thing about it is we have to be careful of, is in the middle of a conflict that we don't discount who we were created to be. That we don't put that on the shelf. You know how I used to say, let me give you a piece of my mind. I had given out too many pieces of my mind by that time. You know what I'm saying? So some things that happen. So I don't tell people I give you a piece of my mind. I don't need to give you a piece of my mind. I just need to move forward and do and be the best person I can be.
And what I do now, because I told the story, I hope my therapist doesn't follow me, but because my therapist was like, hey, I want you to do this CBT activity. And I looked and I was like, I'm not going to do that. I don't like that. I'm not going to do it. And because I talk on social media of, hey, if you have an issue with something that your therapist says, or like if something isn't helpful for you, make sure to bring it up. And she took it great. She was like, okay, no problem. How about journaling instead? You know, thought records. Cause what she was asking me to do, I normally do in my head. I didn't see it as a major issue. And I just despise what she asked me to do. And so I did. It's 100%.
But it's about knowing you.
I know you.
Know you. And so the same thing, and you know, I do finances and I help people build wealth and all this stuff. And the same thing on mine. I have people that say that ain't gonna work for me. So I am the one who's providing support. So it's not about me and my plan. It is about me looking at you and saying, okay, so what will work? What can we do? You just got a golden opportunity. I see it.
Last tip. When you are in a conflict, you need to have an open mind. If your mind is fixed, if this is the only outcome that is possible.
Wow, that's good.
I need to be able to broaden. And now I'm not going to, I have non-negotiables. I have things that are off limits. But if I'm saying, no, we can only go to this restaurant. If we don't go to this restaurant, I'm not going to eat. Like let's expand our options a little bit, because being flexible in the midst, that can really be helpful. Because when you are in a conflict, if you are in your survival brain, that is where my vision is going to narrow and I'm only going to see this much. But if I calm myself and realize, wait a minute, they're not against me. This isn't now, if it is an attack, then I need to get safe. But if this person, if I know they love and care about me and they are not trying to attack me, maybe I could see something from this, then being able to take a step back, self-evaluate, and then broaden to think, okay, this is what I wanted. This is where they are. Where can we
come together?
Is there a way for us to come together with this?
And especially when it's someone you care about, because remember we talked about investing. So this is one of the tips I'll tell you, and it's very impactful, is that one of the most valuable things you can ever invest in is people. So nobody became whoever they are today by themselves. I know people say self-made. No, you had other people to help you, boo. So, and I understand that concept and I'm not knocking it. So anything that you're doing in life, whether it's relationship, right? And the two shall become one. You're in, most people are either married or in a part, you know, whatever your relationship area is, but you collaboration at the table when you're working in at a job. Even if you're the boss, you need collaboration. You can't do everything by yourself. If you're a solopreneur, guess what? You need to find people to help you, because at some point you probably want to scale. You want to build this this item of knowing how to work in conflict when everybody doesn't agree with you or you don't agree with everybody. It's something that will cause you to skyrocket in any and every area of your life. Now, that does not mean that you become less so somebody else can be more.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you crossed over any thresholds that you have established as a boundary. What it means is that you have a growth mindset. And a growth mindset will do more for you than anything, more than money, more than anything. A growth mindset gives you options that you had never thought of, that if you take a moment and breathe, you'll see the possibilities, and not where you came from, but where you're meant to go.
We're just gonna drop the mic on that. We so appreciate you all checking in with us. And I will get some journal recommendations. Like I said, I'm going to work on one personally. And then, but there are a few that I think are good. And so I can message people directly to get that. If there are any questions, please put them in the comments. If you are watching the replay, and make sure to check out our YouTube channels and all the other socials and all that good stuff. If you are listening to this on the podcast, I highly recommend going over to YouTube and watching this. Like, this, it went places that we didn't know it was going to go. And we are so grateful.
Yes, we are. Thank you.
We hope you enjoy the rest of your day.